Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. It's Diane Thomas, your host. We are continuing our series on tithing versus giving, what the scriptures really say, and we've been talking about why this whole thing matters. What are the consequences to our relationship with God? How the misunderstanding regarding tithing and giving affects our lives? Why does it really matter? And we've talked about several reasons that the whole finances and tithing and misunderstanding controls us. And this morning we're going to talk about kind of a touchy subject. And when we really start thinking about it, and even in whatever situation you're in, think about how this might be affecting your giving, who you support, and even it might directly affect the decisions and the choices you are making. And that's the whole, in regards to the tax-exempt status of nonprofit giving. Now, I've worked at several ministries, and some of them have been, you know, exempt, and some of them have been non-exempt. And I'll tell you, there's a real, just from an insider perspective, it can be very daunting to get your head around why certain things are done within a ministry. And very often within a ministry, and I'm thinking of two in particular that I've worked with, international ministries, where decisions were made and additional layers of people involved and a great deal of money spent in order to keep the not-for-profit portion in order to achieve, retain the tax-exempt status versus the for-profit, which is was it for personal income. And working for one particular company, we had two separate warehouses. We fulfilled with books and all kinds of different products internationally. And to keep the two things separate, there was a complete duplication of personnel, of warehousing, of postal accounts. It was complete in order to keep them separate to accommodate the demands of the IRS. Now, on the other hand, I've worked at another international ministry, not as big, but getting there quickly. It's a growing ministry where that distinction was understood and known, but refused. And it actually caused several of us to leave that ministry with a really bad taste in our mouths, that we knew we were being paid to do profit work, for-profit work, where the income went directly to that particular person. And I don't, you know, I certainly don't, you know, criticize that at all. I mean, when you work for something, you earn it. It's your money. The problem was it was being paid for by money that was being expressed to the IRS as not-for-profit or tax-exempt. And it was being raised. We were being paid to produce materials that were then generated income for the leader of this ministry, and the people, the checks we were being paid from were not from the sale of the books. they were being paid for by the tithes of the local church and people who donated to the ministry and got a write-off from their IRS. And it was even raised with the boss, if you will, and it was basically, that was fine with him. And that is, so that adds a whole other layer. And one of the reasons several of us left was because we knew that that was illegal and that there would be consequences to pay. And when I left, I had actually spoken with the CFO, the chief financial officer, and he had to basically make legal arrangements to let it be known that he had raised the issue and that he could not be held responsible and he was not participating in it. So that years down the road, if something did come up, he had to cover himself legally. So again, this is just one way this affects. You may think that what you're donating is going to the ministry, and it may not be. So that's one aspect of where this comes in. Then when we back up even farther, and let's just go through real quickly what the whole tax-exempt status is. The concept is that the government, the IRS, encourages individuals to support those in need. And in a real sense, this goes back to whose responsibility is it to help the poor, to help the needy? Now, if you are of the mindset that the circle of responsibility starts with you and radiates out, you will agree that it's your responsibility to help those in your family, your neighbors, your community, and outward from you, that the initial responsibility is to help others, those in need, comes from you and starts with you. And in that sense, when the government provides a way, and this is not just religious organizations, this is hospitals, this is any kind of an organization that helps those in need, can apply for this tax-exempt status. So we're not just talking about Christian organizations. But what this does is it is meant to encourage individuals and organizations, non-government organizations, NGOs, to help those in need. And the way that that's encouraged is by providing this tax-exempt status. So the intent there, from the government standpoint, from that worldview standpoint, is a positive idea. On the other hand, if you believe that it's the government's role to take care of the needy and the poor, then what is happening is instead of you taking responsibility for your neighbor, you're leaving it to someone else. And that's really the road we're on now, is that I see if things continue to go the direction they're going in, that tax-exempt status for donating is going to be dwindling and finally be gone, where that the government will be taking over the role and responsibility of providing for the poor. Now, on the one hand, what that does is it keeps you and I from keeping an eye on our neighbor and looking for need and seeing how we can help. It destroys a community, can destroy the family, because we're leaving it to someone else to take care of that person. Rather than, you know, it's our community, it's our family. You know, we don't take welfare, we take care of our own. And when that's broken down, and part of the problem is because we have become dependent on the tax-exempt status, that really is a motivator And so organizations have come to rely on that. You know, that this is, you know, we're certified, we're, you know, we're accountable, you know, we are tax exempt and we belong to these organizations where we get audited. So the reliability of the organization is often dependent on being certified by being tax exempt and belonging to certain watchdog organizations. And for our purposes, the problem with that particular aspect is you verify giving to that organization according to their qualifications and not whether God tells you this is who you should be giving to. So going back, when we look at the more we rely on someone else to take that responsibility, the more we are separated from being able to truly give. And again, we give now as Christians, not because it's a good idea, not because we should, not because God told us to, but because by nature you are now a giving person. That's your nature, your spirit character. That's the very core of who you are. Because you have unconditionally received eternal life now, part of that is to unconditionally give without expecting anything in return. Which brings us around again to the whole idea of using the tithe within a ministry that has the condition on it that if you tithe, God will take care of you. That's not giving. And as we proceed through time, and regardless of who's in the administration, what government, hopefully it would be a good thing where this tax-exempt status would be lifted. Then we could get into the separation of church and state and all that, but that part really doesn't apply. Because one of the things that does happen, unfortunately, is there's this misunderstanding about if you are considered a tax-exempt organization, there are restrictions on what you can do and say. And this is another way, another level of separation or interference between a person, a ministry, a preacher, a speaker, anyone, you. If you are trying to be a not-for-profit organization, there are layers of requirements on you. You have to have a board. You have to fill out paperwork. You are accountable to the government for your nonprofit status. That's a layer of separation between you and God, between your soul and your spirit, if you will. That reinforces the notion that you aren't accountable only to God. Now, working at some of these ministries, I'd get into arguments with people about people punishing this organization by withdrawing their monthly gift, their monthly donation. You know, this person says this, that, and the other thing and believes this, that, and the other thing, so I'm not going to support them anymore. Thinking that that was their job to hold them accountable. Now, I'm all for someone not supporting something that they don't agree with, but they felt that they were an agent of God. And that because they were giving, they could then tell that person what they were doing wrong. So the bottom line is, when we give for any other reason other than out of an unconditional nature, whenever we have strings attached to it, we are not giving. Now, there's different reasons we give. We give because God says, I want you to give to this person, and this is the amount, and this is how to do it. There are times, and we check to make sure that's him, and we give. Then there are times when we want to give, or someone brings a need, we find out about a need, or someone asks, and we ask God, you know, how do we respond to this, and we do what he says. But then there are also times when we want to give, and we still check with God. But very often in those situations, he says, it's up to you. And then we give. So the giving part really isn't all that problematic. It isn't all that complex. There's no conditions. It's not, God's not going to say, well, give to that ministry if they're tax exempt. Or if you agree with everything they say, or if, fill in the blank, whatever you want to put there. Instead, it's being responsive to God and your nature as a spirit being, your giving nature. And again, there's going to be times when you want to give. And as long as you ask, Lord, is it okay? One of the problems we've got is going back to being responsible for our neighbor, for our family, for our community. And let me just interject here, a real practical matter here. If you think that any organization, almost any organization, especially a government, of any government, is more efficient with your money than you are, you really need to do some research. For instance, if you had to make a change in your house, and rather than just calling up, say you needed a, had a leaky faucet, and rather than just calling the plumber and having that plumber, think of it in terms of, before you do that, you have to get a committee together. You have to take them to lunch. You have to discuss the issue. You have to come to a conclusion. And then you have to pay them all for having taken the time out to decide what action to take, who to call, follow up, if they did the job right, and evaluate whether the money was well spent. And what starts out as a simple problem that needs to be fixed, and yeah, it's going to cost you direct, and it's your responsibility to get it fixed, but it's your house. So when we start out with what you are looking at as a personal responsibility, then you are abdicating that responsibility to someone else. And I've got a great question. Are you saying a church should not apply for tax-exempt status? I'm saying that there are many, many strings attached to the tax-exempt status. And most of the time, people who have started that church have not thought that through. And what will be happening is, as that tax-exempt status goes away, they will not have the wherewithal, the relationship, to continue that church, because there's no way of sustaining. In other words, very often in a church, people are trained not to give, but to tithe, to somehow formally, the relationship is built around the tax exemption and not around hearing from God. So do I think, my personal answer would be, I do not think a church should apply for tax-exempt status. There are restrictions, there are strings, and it's a secondary authority over the leadership in any group or any individual saying that, yes, God has given me this project to work on, these group of people to teach and to lead, but in order to do that, I also have to ask the government's permission. And what that does is that divides the authority in our lives, that God has to share his authority with the government. That's not God's idea. That's our idea. And when you look at the effect, think about it. What will happen when that goes away? We've been trained to be so focused on why it's good to give, how to give. And we get our records and it's you know, tax deductible. And we give for so many of these reasons without really thinking if it's a good idea for our soulical growth, for our becoming a entire being, a whole being, spirit, soul, and body. And it's, again, we've been trained that way. It's especially in the Western Church. So we will see, and I'll, just as another aside, working in some secular companies, one company I worked with, it was kind of humorous. About one-third of one department I was working with were licensed ministers. And there's, you can go out and become a tax-exempt status company real easy. It's not hard to be tax-exempt. And basically, it's a way of getting around paying taxes. And there are a lot of people, and again, having been involved in many ministries, and a couple of quite large ones, and some that had no pretext that they were in the ministry for any other reason than for making money that was tax-free, that was not taxable. So as this ability to claim tax exemption goes away, one of the things it will do, it will shake out those pastors, those teachers, those ministers who got involved because they didn't want to pay taxes. They wanted what they considered to be an easy way to get around work, quote unquote. I'm certainly not saying that it's not work to be a minister, but when you think about the tax situation, and I've talked to people that this is why they got involved was because it was an easy way to make a lot of money that was tax deductible. You didn't have to pay taxes on it. So as that's removed, we will really see what we've been relying on in order to, in these ministers' cases, make a living. Do I believe that there should be full-time ministers? Absolutely. But the whole concept that they should be held up as this formal structure, and that there is a certain way of doing things, that this is the way to do it. First, if you want to go into the ministry, you get your tax-exempt status. When you realize that, and this is something, and one of the things hopefully we're discussing now, when you go through that process, you are legally bound to the government and accountable to them. And there are certain things you can't say. And one of the restrictions that's going to be coming out is, and they, you know, the conflict may not be coming up directly against removal of the tithe, of the tax-exempt status. But what it may very well be is redefining hate speech, that you can't get the tax-exempt status if you are preaching against sin, for instance. And we won't go into the details of that, but the whole idea is they have, when you have to account to someone other than God, that other someone has a right to tell you what to do. So we look at the situation as an interjection of accountability, authority, responsibility between us and God when it comes to how we give, where we give, and to whom we give. And on the converse of that, we look at taking into account those to whom we are responsible to affect what we say, how we minister, how we speak, to whom we speak. So it's a double-edged sword. People have been trained what to do with their finances when it comes to religious circles, and that needs to change. And that's again, and I knew it was a touchy subject, and I'm sorry for all those who are not real happy with that, but it is something that we really need to look at. It's always easier to make things easier. And when you say that you're tax exempt, very often that gives people this false sense, this false idea that they are more reliable, when it's not true at all. Likewise, when an organization belongs to a so-called watchdog group, you know, that they do a special audit every year. I got to tell you, you guys, having, again, had some experience with that, they ain't what they're cracked up to be. The reason they came into being was not because people were concerned about the accountability. It was, if they didn't do it, the IRS was going to step in and be auditing these organizations on a regular basis. That doesn't mean they're doing a good job. Our responsibility, your responsibility, is to ask God. Now, we've talked before, and we'll talk some more about who you support, and how, and why, and when, and what is an expected aspect of your new nature. When you go to a restaurant, you expect to pay for the food. You expect to pay for the meal. There's a price on it. This is how much you should pay. Now, should we sell tickets to hear a special speaker? I don't know. Maybe that's a good way to do it. So there's no misunderstanding about the expectation about people, you know, for travel, for people, you know, employed there and working. There should be an expectation that they aren't going to be paying for this out of their own pocket. But the point being is that those are the things we should be talking about, not who's going to have the authority. Who's going to make the decision? Who's going to determine what I say? What qualifies you to be a tax-exempt organization? Following certain guidelines. And those guidelines are not just financial, but also the government can determine and influence what you say, how you say it, to whom you say it, when, and in what manner. If you offend someone, can you lose your tax-exempt status? Can they file a lawsuit against you? Yes. For hate speech, for a variety of reasons, and that's going to get worse and worse. So that's all we want to look at, is this is one of the other ways that the whole question and misunderstanding about tithing and giving and the finances has contributed to the whole idea of who is in control. your spirit, when your spirit is in control, you give unconditionally. And that's what we want to hold out for. So next week, hopefully that clarifies some things. And again, feel free. I'm happy to discuss these things. I don't argue, but I'm happy to discuss these things with you. So drop me a line. If you've got any comments or questions or feedback, Diane@wecanprepare.org, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Next week, we're going to be starting with talking about one of the consequences of being taught to tithe, and depending on the tithe, is that believers aren't being taught how to hear from the Lord for themselves. So the tithe actually reinforces the notion that someone else is in a position to speak for God to you. So we're going to address that starting next week. Until then, have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.